Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Well, happy Mother's Day. We love you, moms. Boy, there wasn't much response on that. Wow. I have a couple things here that I thought were interesting. Here's some things that the mother of a small boy says. She says that a king-size waterbed holds enough water to fill a 2,000-square-foot house 4 inches deep. Mother of a small boy says that 3-year-old boy's voice is louder than 200 adults in a crowded restaurant. When you hear the toilet flush and the words, uh-oh, it's already too late. Brake fluid mixed with Clorox makes smoke, and lots of it. A 6-year-old boy can start a fire with a flint rock, even though a 36-year-old man says they can do it only in the movies. Certain Legos will pass through the digestive tract of a 4-year-old boy. Play-Doh and microwave should not be used in the same sentence. And super glue is forever. No matter how much Jell-O you put in a swimming pool, you can't walk on water. And pool filters do not like Jell-O. Garbage bags do not make good parachutes. Marbles in the gas tank make lots of noise when driving. You probably do not want to know what that odor is. The fire department in Austin, Texas has a 5-minute response time. Now, again, this is what a mother of small boys says. The spin cycle on the washing machine does not make earthworms dizzy. It will, however, make cats dizzy. Cats throw up twice their body weight when dizzy. And 80% of men who read this or hear this will try mixing Clorox and brake fluid. Yeah. Okay. I had a really sweet poem to read, but I'm going to do an audible. I'm calling an audible. I would like to have at least one from each section. If you would like to brag on your mom, tell us what your mom means to you. I think it would be good for us to hear about it this morning. Is there anybody over in this section that you would like to thank the Lord for your mom? Tell us how much you appreciate. Anybody over here? Nobody appreciates their mom in this section. You guys be thinking, okay?
Well, you all know I have...
This is your mom, right?
Yes.
Okay, so make it good.
Yes. So my mom obviously means a lot, not just to me, but to everyone. But I get to call her mom, and so I feel like I'm beyond blessed. God blessed me huge to give her as my mom. Life's not always been super easy, and she has been right there. She pushes... Sometimes a little too much. Sometimes I think she's been a little hard on me. But I appreciate every minute of it. Obviously, she pours out and pours out, not just to me, but to my husband, to my children. We are beyond blessed and don't know what we would do without her. She teaches the word. She's always there to encourage. She is the life of the party and brings the fun everywhere that she comes. We don't forget, we have memories, beyond memories, beyond memories. Since I was a child, that's been the thing. We create memories, and she is very good about that. Not just when she's gone, but in the present, and I just want to appreciate everything about her. God's good.
Fantastic. Amen. Is there anybody in this section? Oh, okay. Come on ahead. Yes.
My mom is my best friend. She's my world. She's raised us girls from all our lives, and now she's raising three boys. She has the biggest heart, and she's a very godly woman, and I love her very much.
Amen. Thank you. Is there anybody over in this section that likes your mom? Would like to share with us? Anybody? Come on, don't be bashful. Okay, here we go. Oh, this is great. We're getting all the gals that have their moms right here to hear the good words. Did she nudge you?
So everyone knows my mom has the heart of a servant. She gives everything that she can. And she's done that for 34 years for me and for my sister as well. More for me. She likes me better. she has been there every day of my life for me. She has encouraged me. She has helped me walk in my faith. She has a greater faith than I ever probably could. She trusts every day that God will take care of us. On days that I struggle being a mom, she is there to help pick up the slack for me. And I will never be the mom that she is, but I will try.
Amen. Is there anybody over in this section? No, you know, it can be somebody whose mom has already passed from this world, but you're just really, ooh, we get a man, that's cool. Come on, Michael. Strong, silent types here.
Yeah. See if I can do it without crying. Now, my mom, I think two things is she's a teacher and she's a giver. And even in, you know, times when didn't have a whole lot of money in the house, she was still, you know, when she saw somebody in need, she was giving out. She taught the junior class in Sunday school for between 40 and 45 years. Mm. And she'd still be doing it if she weren't in a nursing center. But now, in the nursing center, she started to teach.
Oh, great.
And so, you know, just a blessing.
Praise the Lord. I think I have time for one more. If one of you feels guilty that you didn't praise your mom, we can, no, anybody? Okay. I'm so very thankful for my mom. She's 93, still feisty, and gets up every single morning and spends a great deal of time in prayer, and I'm one of her primary subjects. And I've convinced her that she has to stay around and keep praying as long as I'm ever doing this, because I need her prayers constantly. Amen. All right. Well, the Lord put this message on my heart at about 5 o'clock in the morning a few weeks ago. And so this is really obedience. I believe it means something to the Lord, as well as I hope that it's a blessing to those of you that hear it. The title of the message is, God Provides a Mother. I like that little guy. God provides a mother. I'm going to go ahead and give you the poem here. It's by Phyllis Michael. God knew we need a guiding hand, a loving heart to understand. When all the world was strange and new, for babies don't know what to do, that's why he made mothers. God knew we'd need a lullaby, a soothing voice if we should cry, two listening ears if we should wake, a kiss to heal each childish ache. God knew we'd need a gentle touch, much more than a friend's, yes, twice as much, to make and keep us ever strong when we were tempted to do wrong. God knew we'd need a place to rest, the solace of a mother's breast, the hope that she alone can give, her blessing every hour we live. God knew we'd need a mother's smile, two eyes to guard us all the while, two arms to comfort and to care, a love that no one else could share. God knew we'd need her help to walk, her words to teach us how to talk, her faith to follow day and night, her prayers to give us second sight. God knew we'd need her love to teach the human things his hands can't reach. That's why he made mothers. Amen. I became very aware in my text, which is in Exodus chapter 2, if you want to turn there and allow me to read it. It's a familiar story, I'm sure, to many of you. Exodus chapter 2, verse number 1. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrews' babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." Father in heaven, I praise you and thank you for placing in my heart the truths of this passage. I pray that your Holy Spirit would deliver them with the same love and ease that you placed them upon my heart. Grant to each and every mother this morning just your spirit of encouragement, help for those who may be struggling as a mother. And may you be honored in all of our response. In Jesus' name, amen. I find in this passage three different things. But Scripture records the actions of an unnamed mother whose simple decision changed the world. She was a woman that God provided. I believe that today God is still providing mothers to change the world. Amen? You see, we never know that child that we are raising, we never know how God is going to choose to use them as they get older. It took 80 years before God grabbed hold of Moses and used him to his intentions. That's amazing. Most of us at 80 years are on the downward end, you know, looking to stop rather than to start. It says here, now a man of the house of Levi married a woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She's unnamed. And I found this, and part of that has to do with the patriarchal society of the Old Testament and the New. But I think it goes beyond that. God knows her. God knew her. And here's the point. When man needed a savior, God provided a mother. I like that. Moses' mother, she had no idea how great he was going to be, that some 4,000 to 5,000 years later, people would still be talking about her child. Isn't that amazing? If she had not given birth to Moses, Moses would never have seen a burning bush. He would never have been called of God. He would have never gone to Pharaoh. He would have never demanded that people of God be released. He would never have performed great miracles. He would have never led 2 million people out of Egypt. He would have never crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. Never drank from a rock. He would have never been face to face with God and received the law of God for the people. He'd never been led to the threshold of the promised land without his mother. There's another one that I would speak to. He also had an unnamed mother. His name was Samson. Scripture says she was sterile and childless. Was their way of saying that she was childless and had no expectation of ever having a child. But she cared enough to listen to the Lord, to take him seriously when the Lord said she was going to have a child. She cared enough that she believed and she changed her life. Because if you remember, when the angel of the Lord spoke to her, he said, from this point forward, you drink nothing that comes from the vine. Because that child within you is going to be a Nazarite or dedicated to me from birth. You're not allowed to cut his hair. And you're not to drink anything from the vine. So she was obedient to the word of the Lord, and Samson grew up, and for over 20 years, he was the leader of Israel, breaking the captivity that they had against the Philistines. And then, of course, we have to remember another young lady who was not married. But the Spirit of the Lord came to her and said, you're going to be with child. How many know who she is? Yeah. When man needed a savior, God called out a mother. A young gal who had never been with a man, was still yet to be married. And God says, you're going to have a child. And you're to give him this name. Do you realize what a sacrifice that Mary made to be the mother of Jesus? Now, I don't deify Mary, as some may do in pulpits. She was just an ordinary lady, young lady. God wanted to bring a Savior to this world. And he chose her. And I believe that the reason why he chose her is because of this. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I think of all the things that she could have said after the Lord spoke to her. The angel of the Lord spoke to her and gave her this message. You're going to have a child. The Father is God. I have questions. Come on. How many of you can think of a few questions that you would have asked? How can this be? Or, I'm sorry, I don't believe this is possible. Why me? Huh? The Lord knew of her willingness to be a servant for him. She suffered the shame, the potential loss of her espoused husband. She had to actually leave town. I think it's interesting how that whole situation unfolds there, where she goes to see Elizabeth and leaves town, you know. And then as she's getting ready to deliver the child, she and her husband leave town with God's help. There's going to be a census, and so they needed to go to Bethlehem. We have a young lady with us this morning who is just about to have her baby. Yay. I told her she didn't have to have it here in church just because it was Mother's Day. But my point is, wouldn't you love to get on a donkey and ride for several days today? Yeah. I try to imagine my lovely wife, if I would have said to her, come on, we're going to take a trip at any point in our three children's gestation period, you know. It's amazing to me. See, God did not tell any of these women what the impact would be for the whole world. He simply called them to be a mother. I know some of your stories and the struggle that some of you moms have had with children and the pain that you have had to endure, not just in having them, but in watching them grow and watching them make choices that break your heart. Understand that when God calls you to be a mother, it is that He is prepared to use that child of yours in His kingdom. That is the hope of eternity. It is. I tried to communicate to my oldest son that the greatest thing that he would ever do in his life will be the things that he does in service to the Lord. Because you see, God provides life through a mother. And I believe every mother's intention is that their child would not only live, but would succeed in life. Amen? I would tell you this morning of a small apartment in Washington, D.C., where a group of Christian mothers are in devoted, radical, intercessory prayer. Each person in the group prays in shifts 6 days a week for 8 hours each day. Then in two-hour shifts, in groups of 6 to 10, they gather on the steps of the Supreme Court to pray silently with red tape covering their mouths and the word life scrawled across the tape in black marker. The group is called The Cause. They have been praying since October 2004 for the overturning of Roe versus Wade for the sake of another life. You know I stay away from political things and this, but only a mother. You understand what I'm saying? God has called out some mothers to be in prayer for 8 hours a day for another child's life. When a child needs a chance at life, God provides a mother. Says there when Moses' mother, when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Now, this is probably just a man speaking, but when I've seen newborn children, some of them are very ugly. So, when she says she saw a fine child, he could have looked like most anything. And she would have considered, because that word fine there actually in the Hebrew means beautiful. Okay, so I'm just saying. Well, I was going to talk to you about his mother, but that wouldn't be fair. She saw him beautiful. I see them wrinkly. Our kids, especially as they, you know, by the third one, they were reddish color. Or no, yellow color. One of them, I don't remember which one, Sharon could tell you, but one of them had to stay in the hospital because he or she was jaundiced. And so they had to stay there some days. So they came out yellow. yellow is not the right color for kids. I don't know a lot, but I know that that's not the case. So anyway, when a child needs a chance at life, God provides a mother. She looks in, she sees that child, and that child is beautiful. That child has potential. Guys, if we're honest, we don't see the same thing. When I looked in and they brought that child into the room, things were different back a few years ago. Now they have the baby right in the room and they all stay together, but not when, I was in there for the birth of our children, but I was not an active participant. I was in the way, is what I was, but nevertheless, just watching this whole process. And again, when our children were born, I was amazed at how terribly ugly they were. But Sharon, just as soon as she saw each one of them, she's crying and she was, she was really into it. So I can see this scene. When she looked and saw her child, the child was beautiful. She said, I cannot give this child to death, to Pharaoh. Pharaoh had made an edict. He didn't like the Hebrews. They were outgrowing the people of Egypt. And so he said, anytime that a male child is to be born, kill that child. Told the midwives to kill the children. But when this mother saw this baby, she said, no, not this one. And she hid him for 3 months. By the way, she likely delivered the baby herself because of everything else that's in the context there. Because when Pharaoh noticed that there's still male babies being born to the Hebrews, he brings in the midwives and they said, well, we're sorry, but they deliver the children before we get there. So it's a good possibility she birthed this child herself, maybe all alone. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And his sister, possibly was Miriam, stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. She knew that she could not raise him herself because of the circumstances that were beyond her control. She gave her child a chance at life by putting him into that little ark. Man, that's love. That's love, that's hope, that's prayer. Can you imagine the prayers that she was praying? God, I don't know how, I don't know. Only you can take care of this. But she said, I can't kill him. I can't allow anybody to kill him. I'm gonna put him in an ark. I'm gonna set him in the Nile, which is the lifeblood of this whole nation. And I'm going to see what you will do for him. You know, women everywhere today are making choices that affect the lives of human beings. To me, the abortion issue is not a social issue. It is a spiritual issue. Because even as I'm preaching this to you today of what God has put into a mother, there is a spiritual battle going on that would enable a mother to deny the life that is within her. I'm not trying to drive anybody off today, so please, I hope I'm not offending you, but at the same time, I need to speak plainly with this. In our society, we're reducing the value of life to the level of a piece of clothing. A woman goes into a store and she sees a dress. She tries on the dress and then chooses whether to purchase the dress. A woman sees a man. She tries on the man. She gets pregnant from their encounter and then she chooses whether that child within her will live or die. When a child needs a chance at life, God provides a mother. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, it says, then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Now, pause there for a moment. Her father had made a law in Egypt that every male Hebrew baby should be killed. His daughter sees this Hebrew baby, identifies him to be a Hebrew baby, and her heart goes out to him. I don't know what you think, but I think God provided a mother. Her identification of the child should have repulsed her because Egyptians did not eat. They didn't even sit at the same table as Hebrews. And she was contemplating taking one home with her. But God put it in her heart. Again, when a child needs a chance at life, God provides a mother. There are approximately 135,000 adoptions each year in the United States. When a child needs a chance at life, God provides a mother. I know that we have several here in the church who have fostered and adopted children. I, for one, take my hat off to you. And I say thank you. Maybe you haven't heard God say it, but hear it today. Thank you for letting God call you to be a mother. When a child needs a miracle, God provides a mother. Understand that in that day, there was no formula to be had. I know it's kind of scarce today, I guess, but in that day, it didn't exist. So every child to survive needed a surrogate, needed a mother to breastfeed. Pharaoh's daughter had not given birth to a baby. She needed a surrogate to feed this child if it was to survive. And Moses' sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she said. Now, those of you that have walked with the Lord for a while, if you're like me, you kind of chuckle and you say, "Boy, this is just God. This is just like God." His precious mother put him in a little ark and set him to give him a chance for life. And God sends along an adoptive mother who pulls him out of the water. Huh? But God didn't forget that first mom. He said, "Here, take this child." And I love this part. "I'll pay you." Come on. Isn't that fantastic? I mean, when you took your baby home, mom, didn't you wish somebody would have paid you? "Here, take this baby home from the hospital and we'll pay you to take care of this child." It's kind of in reverse of that. Then the bills start coming. But what a glorious thing. You see, because God had a plan for this child. And how did he work that plan? He provided a mother. And not just one, but two. Now, you know, here's another thing. His Hebrew mother could not have educated him. They were slaves. So the best she could do would have been to take Moses to her level. But what God wanted to do with Moses 80 years from then, he needed to have all the education that he could possibly have. He needed to understand the household and the ways of Pharaoh. And God provided a mother from Pharaoh's household to teach him what he needed to know so that he could achieve what God wanted to take place in Moses' life. Oh, I don't know about you, but I find that incredibly fascinating. And I love this. When the child grew older, she, that is his birth mom, took him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. He became her son. The ramifications of that one sentence are overwhelming. The fight that that woman would have had to have gone through because she took that Hebrew baby into Pharaoh's place. The struggle that she would have gone through continually whenever he did something wrong, it would have been, well, we expected it, he's a Hebrew. So she took it over and over and over and over again on the chin. Because God had provided her to be his mother. Moms, hear me this morning. I know that you go through a lot. I know that you go through a lot when you have them, and you go through a lot when you raise them. And I know that even sitting here this morning, that some of you sat here with a broken heart because your children are in crisis, they're in struggle, and you don't know how to fix them. Just know this, that when God wanted to bring a life into the world, he provided you. Because he knew that you would give them a chance at life. And those of you who have taken on the responsibility of raising another mother's children, though it can be an arduous task, painful in many ways, as you're raising them and after they're raised. But know this, God has a purpose for that child. And he provided that child the best chance at life by calling you to be that child's mother. So I think I can say this, thank you, moms. Thank you, moms, for giving these children a chance at being what God wants them to be. Say it like this, Mom, we appreciate your willingness to be part of God's plan for your child's life. Whether a birth mother or adopted mother, you are part of God's plan. I believe that. I believe that with everything in me. You know what? Take that and write it on the refrigerator on those really tough days. You're part of God's plan for that child's life. Even when they go wandering, if they know you're at home praying for them, they'll keep coming back around. They know where the hope is at. They know where purpose for life is at. And who knows? Like I said, Moses killed a guy. Had to flee Egypt. Was 80 years old before things turned around. But when they did, wow, look at how God used him. Huh? I would imagine his birth mother was long gone by that time. People didn't live all that long. Maybe even his adopted mother was gone by that time. Probably so. But they had their part in the life of a man that changed the world. So who knows what God's going to do? Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep loving. Stay consistent. Because moms, we need you. And God has provided you to change the world. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning. I thank you for each and every one of these moms that are sitting here and those that are listening online. There are no words to really say how much we appreciate the gift that they gave to us of life. Thank you, Lord, that when the world has given them choices, that they chose to give us life. Thank you, Lord, for those adoptive mothers who are willing to give a child that second chance, that addition to life, that hope that only you could bring when their birth mom is not capable of doing that. Oh, Master, do what I cannot do. Bless, encourage, and strengthen our moms this morning. May they know in their heart that you have provided them to give us a chance. And Lord, I pray for those that are struggling today because their children are wandering, their children are in trouble or in distress. The beginning of faith is hope. Master, I pray you would give them hope today. That they would see without seeing that nothing is impossible for you. That they would see the life of Moses, that 80 years later, after he had murdered, after he had run away, everything, you used him. He brought a burning bush on a mountain, called him to holy ground, and you used him to deliver your people. Who knows what you have in store for our kids? Oh, God. Pour in hope this morning. Pour in hope to every mother's heart and mind. And may you bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, oh, you've got to meet him. He'll not only just take your sins away, which are kind of sort of invisible. He'll not only do that and give you the hope of heaven, but my goodness, he is an incredible friend to have with you every single day. And you know what? That's good for moms and dads. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. I don't know how in the world that we would have raised our three kids and all those grandkids and all that if it weren't for Jesus. So if you need to know him this morning, I invite you to come to this altar. I'd love to pray with you. This would be a glorious Mother's Day, an opportunity for you to know Jesus. So when everybody's heading out that way, you come down this way. We'll not keep you long, but I'd love to pray with you. Believe with you for Jesus to be your friend and your Savior. Amen? How many are thankful this morning that Mary decided to say yes to God? Yeah, amen. There was a life-changing man. Okay, moms, out there on the table, I've put together a round table full of flowers. But there's not just flowers. There's in the center of the table, there are plants to make tomatoes and jalapeno peppers and basil. You need basil. It's really good. Come on, folks. You all are just so incredibly serious. You scare me sometimes. I'm never nervous up here, but I am scared quite often because it's just, yeah. So moms, go back there and get one of those flowers and just know that we love you. And men, I'm going to say it. Don't come to me asking, can I take one of these to your to my mom? Go buy one, you idiot. No, you cheapskate. No, come on. These are for all you moms. Go out there and enjoy. God bless you and have a great day in the Lord. Amen.